Tom's talk is titled, "I'll Be Satisfied with Thy Likeness." I'll Be Satisfied with Thy Likeness. Thank you, Brother Bob. Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
50 years, huh? None of us are that old,
really.
Well, we want to start by bringing you the greetings of our small ecclesia over in Wisconsin, the Southern Wisconsin Bible students. Also, the greetings of Jan's mother, Sister Evelyn McAllister, 93 years old. And also the special love of Eric and Natasha, who would normally travel with us to this convention, but Natasha had some surgery just a week ago, and it's still a little too soon for her to be traveling. So we want to do that. Before we get into our text, some of the things Bob mentioned and seeing who's in the room here invites a little bit of reminiscing. Since we're marking an anniversary, if you will. The Lord works through human agents. And in many ways, I'm here today because of Brother Larry McCullough, through whom the Lord reached out to me. You know, I was living in the dorm. I was one of those persons who enjoyed living in the dorm. I didn't want to live off campus. I certainly didn't want to cook my own food. I loved people cooking for me and setting it out and letting me take it. So I stayed in the dorm for 4 years on campus. I know a lot who said, boy, you know, we had to be there freshman year, but sophomore, off campus. No, I was there all 4 years. And one day, one evening, I went down to see one of my friends, a friend by the name of Bob Lee, and to ask him a question. And I turned in the doorway of his room, and the room was filled. You know the size of a college dorm room, and there were probably 15 to 20 young men in there. And sitting on the floor in the middle was this guy, Larry McCullough, preaching the gospel message. And they were listening intently. Well, this was an obstacle to getting to see Bob, who was sitting in the back of the room and at his desk. And I had to wait till this, whoever he was, I'd not met him before, was done talking. And that went on, I don't know, another 10 or 15 minutes. And as he walked out the door, I think I remember saying, well, nice to hear someone talking about the Bible and whatever. And I said, but you sure got a lot of things that you're mixed up on. And he says, well, why don't you show me how I mixed up? And I said, well, wait a minute, I need to see my friend Bob. And Larry came down to my room, and here I am. We had a lot of conversation that first night. I tell people in their maze that before I went to bed that night, he had convinced me there was no Trinity. That was a big one to slay on the first meeting, but at any rate, so I owe much to my dear friend Larry. And Larry is one of the most zealous evangelists I know, and I can tell lots of stories. Like the first time we got on the train, the back of there in the days of trains, and he was going down to see this young lady, Debbie Ledwinka. And he says, you want to come down with me? And so I said, okay. We got on the train, and it had no longer pulled out of the station. Larry reached into his bag, grabbed a big stack of tracks, divided it in half, and gave me one stack, and said, you go that way down the train, and I'll go this way. Anyway. I was terrified, but precious. anyway, and he says, we ought to have some public witness activities on campus. And so we had quite a few. And one of those was, well, the first one was Brother David Duran. And he told Larry, you pick the topic. And so we looked through some tracks of other public talks. I don't remember this story, but, you know, there was Brother George Tabak, I guess, had used the title for a public witness. And it was, Millions Now Living Shall Never Die. And Larry says, this is a good track. So we decided to have that printed up, and David was not real happy about that title. But he used it. And then a few occasions later, it was Carl Hagensick. And Jesus Christ Returns. And there was always good questions and answers after these sessions. And anyway, we didn't know it, but there was another student by the name of Bob Davis who came to that public meeting and heard the talk, picked up some literature on the way out, and sent to Chicago for a set of 6 volumes with a mail-in card that was part of that tract. Well, the Chicago Brethren got that card back to Chuck Ribe and I. Larry was done with his college education, and I was now rooming with Chuck Ribe. And all we had was an address. We didn't have a phone number or anything, so we couldn't call. So one night, we just decided we would walk over, and Bob was one who was living off campus, I think an apartment building and or house or something, and we went up and rang the doorbell, and someone answered the door, and he said, well, we're looking for Bob Davis, and he says, well, I'll get him for you, and he left, and a moment later, Bob came to the door, and we told him who we were, Chuck and I, and he says, come on in, I've been expecting you. So, a lot of precious experiences, and